Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of ET First Contact Radio. I'm your host, speaking Maarten Horst, and I have a very distinguished and special and very nice guest tonight. My youngest guest until now, Grant Haywood, born on April 9th in 1983 in Fort Collins, Colorado. Graduated in May 2012 from Western State Colorado University with a BA in Business Administration and Resort Management. Contactee, snowboarder, son, brother, lover, environmentalist, and activist. Welcome to the show, Grant.
Hello, thank you for having me, Maarten.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, since I received the book from our friend Jeffrey Becker, who is the editor, I have interviewed Alan Constantino, Jeffrey Becker, and also somebody who is not in the book but is mentioned in the book, Paula Harris, who is also a very famous figure in the UFO ET field. So we have quite a lot of people with very interesting stories like yourself, Grant. So you grew up and your parents were in medicine and agnostic or atheist, and then your brother discovered the Disclosure Project from Stephen Greer. And then you became interested. And I think that was back in 2009, if I'm correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, in 2009, my brother introduced me to the Disclosure Project. I had, you know, I'd always been interested in, quote unquote, UFOs, but, you know, they were always just kind of the whole subculture was just kind of silly and, you know, just kind of silly, you know, and that's, you know, like talking about probes and little green men and, you know, stuff of the tabloids, like, you know, that's so I was never really into it. When my brother introduced me to the Disclosure Project, you know, I was kind of blown away by that, you know, all these hundreds of military, government and corporate personnel, top ranking military officials, fighter pilots, nuclear weapons facility personnel, even astronauts.
Yeah.
All these people who have, you know, had these close encounters either while on active duty, some not, or they've experienced some part of the cover up, you know. And I was pretty much hooked from then. And I don't know, I just kind of, you know, I've always been interested in space and, I've seen all the, you know, E.T. alien movies and
same here, Grant. You know, but since I was a child, in fact, I was interested in the universe, what's out there, you know, all those stars. And like you wrote in your chapter in the book, Paths to Contact, it's a very nice book with the chapter of Grant Haywood, my guest, amongst others. So if you're interested, it's available on Amazon, True Story from the Contact Underground. And Grant, I understand. And that led up to finally in 2010, I believe, your first CE5 meeting with Butterfest, I think, Richard Butterfest. Since then, things have been in an acceleration mode for you.
Yeah, it was actually 2009. I met Ricky in 2010. My first CE5 was in August of 2009. And, you know, so I'd been researching for a few months, you know, the Disclosure Project and kind of searching all things UFOs on the internet. But I just kept, I had this notion one day, I was like, well, if they're here, you know, who is having contact with these civilizations? And so at the time, there was basically two contact groups, CSETI and ESETI. ESETI, you know, with my kind of atheist, agnostic upbringing, it was they're a little too open under spirituality, which kind of turned me off from them. But SETI just seemed to be more, you know, like have a scientific approach to initiating contact. And, but yeah, basically, in 2009, Dr. Greer spoke at Exopolitics conference in Spain, and it's on YouTube. And in that video, there's one line that really stood out to me. It was, the most common way that the contact humans is in the lucid dream state. So I was like, huh, that's interesting. And having a vague kind of understanding that ETs from CSETI, that ETs use technologies that interface with thought and consciousness, and that's kind of how CSETI has contact. One night I was just dozing off to sleep, and I was asking over and over, please show yourselves to me, please show yourselves to me. And I had this flash in my mind's eye. It was just two big black eyes and like a white kind of gray face. And, you know, I kind of shot up. I was like, whoa, what was that? And, at this point I had no understanding of, I didn't even know what remote views were. So I had no idea what I had just experienced, but that's what it was. It was a remote view. And basically, this was a Thursday evening. I went to class the next day. It was a Friday. It was the first week of my school for my sophomore year in college. And my girlfriend and I were going camping that evening, and we were just driving. I was sitting shotgun when all of a sudden this just appears right in my line of sight. It was probably no more than 150 yards away. It was, you know, it was right at eye level. It was at sunset. And I mean, this thing looked like, the best way to describe it is it looked like an oval ball of mercury. It was totally seamless. It had no windows or doors or rivets or markings of any kind. And, you know, at first I thought it was like a plane or a cloud or something, but it was an ET craft. And I mean, I just had this amazing experience of samadhi, you know, where it's, you know, I mean, my mind just exploded with a flurry of thoughts, you know. And I have it written down really well in the book, I think, but you know, basically, I mean, it was wild.
Sorry to interrupt you, Grant.
No, you're good.
Don't be too modest. Don't be too modest. Your chapter reads very well. It's you know, I read it all through at once because it's not boring at all. It's in fact, it's thrilling, interesting. You get excited from it, from your story telling, what you saw in the car with your girlfriend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's what I was going for, so.
Yeah, hey, man. This is awesome work. But I want to tell you, we are the young people. We are the younger generation. You know, I'm almost 36 years old, a little bit older than you, but don't mind about a few years. Because why I'm speaking about us, the younger generation, Grant, is that you finished your chapter. Very good point, by the way. I have to look it up. Expectations, and before that, taking action. You are an activist, as am I, an environmentalist, and we don't want this planet to be screwed up further. So, in a sense, I hope that we can achieve something together to, I don't know how exactly, but, you know, we have to do something.
Oh, yeah.
Really have to do something.
Yep. Yeah, and when Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth came out in, I'm pretty sure it was 2001, you know, that was kind of a big moment for me because, you know, I'm involved in, you know, I'm a snowboarder. I'm involved in the ski and snowboard industry now professionally, and, you know, the ski industry is really a canary in the coal mine, you know, and it's like, you know, people, I mean, just climate change is a scary thing, you know, and the fact that, you know, climate scientists believe that we're causing climate change, anthropogenic climate change, you know, it just, that, you know, the fact that we're not really doing anything about it, and it's just, you know, which is, we keep going along and just kind of ignoring the problem, and I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of scary, you know, for, you know, thinking about my kids and grandkids, and, you know, it's just, it's not fair for one generation to totally destroy the biosphere just because, you know, they want to, I don't know, they want to be rich and they want to, I don't know. It makes no sense to me. I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know, and it's like,
it's kind of
the goal. I didn't really used to talk about my contact experiences when they first happened because, you know, people, it's pretty out there, you know, and kind of our culture now looks at it as, you know, it's kind of just, you know, again, something of the tabloids, and it's kind of ridiculous. But, you know, after the Gulf spill, that was kind of like the final straw for me, you know, it's like, you know, we're like destroying the biosphere just for nothing, you know, and we could be on these completely non-polluting free energy technologies. You know, it's gonna shake things up in, you know, the whole world and, you know, a lot of aspects of society. But so that's kind of motivated for me, you know, besides the fact that we're being visited, and that, you know, we're not alone and we've never been alone. I mean, that's just amazing in itself.
It's such a clear story, you know. I have in the meantime interviewed many people, and I would really love to have Stephen Gray on the show as well. But he's quite busy now with his film series.
Yeah. But
Brent, I want to tell you, you know, so many interesting people have been on this show. Tisha Corey, Mike Quincy, Ellen Constantino, people from the White Ibis Project, many others, Stellar Idol as well, you know, because I take channeling seriously. Some people I interview are not into channeling so much, but sometimes they have genuine stories, and, you know, disclosure has to come this year, because I think what you were telling about the environment, we really have to move on now into the new age, into the new era.
Yes, definitely.
But
we say, unfortunately, disclosure is so complicated. It's just you know, Dr. Greer kind of, he says sometimes, you know, disclosure has already happened, you know, and it kind of has in a sense, you know, at their 2001 National Press Club, you know, the president hasn't disclosed this, but I mean, who else would you want disclosure? You know, the military, government and corporate people who are actually involved with all this, or, you know, some politician, you know? So, but yeah, I don't know. It's so messed up right now. And yeah. I hope I knows about all this, which is frustrating. You know, when he first went into office, disclosure probably presented their, what do they call it? The special presidential briefing to him. So, you know, I mean, he knows about all this, you know, the fact that we're, you know, going along with, hydraulic fracturing and, you know, the coal mine, or the tar sands going on up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're still talking about drilling offshore. But, you know, wind and solar and all those kind of renewables, those aren't really the answer either. You know, there's lots of problems with those energy technologies. And, you know, I can go on about that. But so I don't know. But, yeah, this really needs to come out. And I think Sirius is going to be a big thing. And
this tiny body that was discovered in Chile.
I'm sorry.
With this tiny alien body that was discovered in the desert of Chile, in the Atacama Desert. Work.
They're still waiting, or they haven't announced that it's an ET, deceased ET, but, you know, they haven't announced yet that it's an ET, but they did announce that it's not a, you know, an aborted fetus. Or something like that. So, but yeah, I'm hoping, you know, I mean, it looks like, you know, it looks like a ET, deceased ET, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Grant, why don't you tell about your experiences with the CE5 initiative? And by the way, maybe it's interesting to tell the listeners that CE5 means Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is initiated telepathically. Why don't you just go ahead and talk a bit about your experiences with the group?
Well, it's been pretty amazing, that's for sure. You know, it's for my first CE5, the remote view and daytime disc, and then you know, I felt like the ET civilizations were kind of like teaching me about this. You know, I mean, I've never been on a CSETI training, you know, but it was interesting. You know, I reached out to them first, and then they reciprocated, you know, like a few weeks after my first CE5, you know, I was dozing off to sleep on the couch one evening watching TV, and I was kind of thinking about the whole thing, the daytime sighting, and I just had this remote view, and it was in my mind's eye of – it was the same disc. It was at night this time, and it was had, like, green, blue oscillating lights going all around it. And, you know, I kind of, like, jerked again. I was like, whoa, you know. But I didn't really know what to do when you experience remote view. I was like, okay, so now what? So
Grant, are you still there? I don't know what Grant is doing, but I can't hear him anymore. Grant, are you there? We don't hear you, my friend. Let's see what's happening. Okay, this is ET First Contact Radio, and I'm Martin Horst, your host. Our guest is Grant Haygood. He is a contactee, a young guy who graduated. He was telling about his experience with the CE5 initiative, and he's a great guy, and I'll just tell you, my friends, that he has a chapter in the book from Jeffrey Becker, the editor.
Hello?
Hey, you're back. Okay.
Hey, sorry, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I was just telling about you. So, Grant was just explaining about his experiences when he was dozing off, and then we lost him. So continue from there, Grant.
So, I don't know if you heard I the remote view of the disc, and it was green and blue lights. Did you hear that part?
I read it in your book, and I did read it, and it was interesting.
Okay, so I went back to, I started listening to Dr. Greer's World Pooja shows, and there's one about remote viewing, and basically how they explain it is that, you know, when you experience a remote view, that the ET's technologies are sort of like locked onto you. So
okay, we lost him again, and Grant was speaking about remote viewing with the World Pooja shows from Dr. Stephen Greer. Grant, if you can hear me, just interrupt me if you're back. Learning about remote viewing. About 2 weeks after my first, and my is of course Grant, first CE5, I was dozing off to sleep on the couch one night when I saw in my mind's eye the same disc, the disc he described just before. When he was driving the car with his girlfriend. But this was at night, and the craft was lit up all green and blue with lights oscillating clockwise and counterclockwise. I jerked myself awake, but I still didn't understand the significance of a remote view. So I went back to Dr. Stephen Greer World Pooja shows and came across a show titled Remote Viewing. So, Grant, are you there? We're trying to call him back, but, he's our guest. Grant Haygood. Oh, okay. The call is dropped. So he learned about the show titled Remote Viewing. He learned that while in a relaxed meditative state, if you experience a remote view, the ET civilizations are essentially locked on to you, and that they are initiating contact. About 2 weeks later, he was falling asleep on the couch again while watching TV and contemplating all of this, when suddenly he experienced a remote view for a while, circular plasma craft. He watched it for a moment in his mind's eye, then suddenly two smaller white balls shot out of it. He kind of jerked, like you do in dreams, when you feel like you're falling, because he thought they were missiles or something. But suddenly the two balls showed down to show him that they were not weapons.
Hey Martin, I can hear you now.
Okay, I was just reading about your chapter where you were just talking about learning about remote viewing, and you were speaking about World Pooja shows from Dr. Stephen Greer, and you were dozing off on the couch and then saw those two balls of light. And that's where I left, and you're back. So welcome back.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what happened. I'm just sitting here. So, but anyways, then one night, again, I was dozing off to sleep, and I saw this just this white circular like plasma craft, and it shot out like two smaller balls, two smaller white craft. And at first, I thought they were like a some kind of like missile or something, but they slowed down. And then I got up, like I knew instantly. I was like, okay, they're initiating contact right now. So I went out the front door, and there are two craft, like right just above the horizon. I live in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, and then I projected my thought at them. I asked if you can hear me, please do something erratic, and instantly the trailing craft sped up so that it was then leading. And then, that's pretty much been all the contact I've had on my own. But then I've had a few contact experiences with
Grant, there's something with your audio. Can you check your microphone, please? And maybe in the meantime, Donald, you can play "The Moon's Coming" while Grant is fixing his audio.
Hey, so, can you hear me?
Yeah, Grant, maybe you check your microphone settings. We're just going for a little break with some music. You check your microphone settings because you're dropping off a lot. Okay?
radio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bring humanity closer to truth.
Welcome back to ET First Contact Radio. My guest is here back. His name is Grant Haygood, a contactee. He appears in the book from Jeffrey Becker. So welcome back, Grant. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Martin. I'm sorry about that. I don't know. Internet.
No, it's not your fault. You know, technical problems appear all the way with Skype, especially the new version. So don't worry. I'm happy to have you back. No worries. We are live, and we have a wonderful program. Every week another guest on ET First Contact Radio. And Grant, you were just telling about your experience when you saw the two balls of light when you were dozing off to sleep. They contacted you, and then what happened?
Well, that was pretty much that for that encounter. But since then, I've had a few contact experiences, and I've been with groups, so that's been good, you know, because other people, just having other people there is good to confirm what you're, you know, seeing, that you're not just, you know, hallucinating or imagining or whatever, you know. So, but yeah, with I've been out with the Colorado CE5 group two times, and then this last, you there? You guys
I'm
there?
I'm listening, yes.
Okay. and then, yeah, I was lucky enough to go out for a night with C-SETI and Dr. Greer in Crestone this year before. I wasn't at that training, but I was kind of just invited to join them, you know, so that was pretty amazing right there, and it was a wild night. There was lots of contact that night, so, but yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
What's that?
I said it sounds awesome, Grant. What you experienced?
Oh yeah, I mean it's just surreal, you know. I mean, it's just so amazing, you know. I mean, you know, it's definitely, and that's kind of why. So I got involved. You know, I kind of became an activist with all this stuff, and I saw Facebook as a good tool to utilize to get all this information out. But, you know, it's not something to be embarrassed of. You know, I mean, this is so amazing. I mean, it's just, you know, I think it's something that everyone should be interested in, you know. And it's like, you know, it's going to be hard for everyone to accept all this. You know, I mean, the atheist people, you know, there's the whole, like, spiritual aspect. And then for all the religious folks, you know, I mean, that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a huge paradigm shift for everyone, you know. And I mean, my world was certainly flipped upside down plenty of times over the last few years, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's just really amazing and beautiful. And, you know, I mean, it's not like I've had sit-down conversations with any ET people, but it's kind of like a unspoken language, you know. And it's like, I feel like if you have, you know, the mindset, you know, the peaceful kind of non-prejudiced, even diplomatic mindset for all this, you know, they'll definitely respond to you, you know, with open arms. So that's yes. That's for sure.
Oh, yes, for sure. We are definitely not alone in the universe, Grant, and you are just one of the witnesses that can tell that to the listeners. So I'm very happy to have you and happy that you could tell the story. So
yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Yeah. I want to ask you something from the book, Paths to Contact. It's available on Amazon, and I would like to ask the listeners as well that this show has to go on, and I need donations. You can send them by going to bbsradio.com/ET First Contact Radio, and right under the image of Salusa, the blue image, there is a PayPal donation button, and you can give a little share if you want. It will be great. So thank you, Grant. And I want to ask you something about the book. There's a section in the book where you speak about more dreams and remote views. And I thought that was interesting what you wrote there about Cicely meeting in Crestone in 2010 while you was visiting your family there. So what happened there?
Yeah, it was an intense night. So it was the night before the ambassador training, but it was also the night of the monthly global CE5, which Costa Macris coordinates, and there's anywhere from a couple, you know, hundreds to even thousands of people who join in all across the globe to initiate contact. So, but I knew that just between CSETI being in the area and also being in Crestone, and as well as the global CE5 going on, that I just wanted to, you know, even if I wouldn't be able to meet up with Dr. Greer and that whole crew, you know, I just, being in the area, I felt like I would be more likely to have contact, you know, because it was kind of a bummer. Like, so I had these really intense contact experiences, like, kind of all at once, and then kind of tapered off. Like, I went out, and I was by myself in Gunnison, and, you know, I would be initiating contact every month with everyone else, but I didn't really have any contact, so, but here, one note on that, I felt like the ET civilizations were, like, they present you with all this stuff, and they're kind of like, you get it, you got it, okay, good, you know. And that's, you know, it's like, you know, they can't be coming down all the time to interact with us, you know. I mean, they have their own lives, and, you know, I mean, of course, you know, traversing the cosmos, you know, I'm sure it's quick for them, but still, it's, you know, I mean, even just driving down the road for us, it's kind of like, oh, we got to do this. But yeah, anyway, so I ended up meeting up with Ricky Butterfast, and we went out to dinner with a few people who were going to be on the training. And then Dr. Greer and a few other people walked into the restaurant, and we ended up talking. And Dr. Greer, he basically, you know, invited me to come out with them that night. So, yeah, and, you know, we went out, and basically, I got Ricky got there. Ricky brought me to the site first, and then they were going to come out later. And so I got there, and I was, so CSETI has three main contact protocols. Consciousness is the most, thought and consciousness is the most important, but they also use they broadcast radio crop circle tones that were recorded in England. They broadcast them over walkie-talkies or CB radios, and that basically puts an electromagnetic vector on the group or individual. And then they also use laser pointers to, you know, for kind of like the final vector point, and to kind of signal back and forth with craft and stuff. But so I got there, and I was going into meditation, and I was broadcasting the tones, and everybody showed up about 20 or 30 minutes later. And as soon as they got there, I mean, craft just started showing up. I mean, it was just so amazing. It's just, But the first craft that pretty much all of us saw, it was, I mean, it just quickly materialized and then dematerialized, but it over the mountains to the east, it shot down to the left and then up to the left. I mean, making this 90-degree angle, but it was a quick just dematerialization, then dematerialization, essentially making like a V. So that was probably the coolest thing that I saw that night. But there was a few other craft that kind of, one did similar, but it went like right to left and quick materialization, dematerialization. But, and then that was before we even did meditation or anything, you know. It's like they knew that C said he was going to be there, and they were, you know, ready. So, I did see one craft. We were passing around Dr. Greer's night vision goggles, and when I had the night vision goggles, this craft appeared, and it was just, a bright white ball of light. I mean, it was incredibly bright just by itself in the night vision goggles. It was, you know, very bright. So, but they felt that that was an ET that shows up at all the trainings, and it's kind of like, I don't really know how to put it, but she's always there, so.
Yeah, it's beyond words, in fact. You know, when you see ET craft, I have seen a few in my life, you're utterly amazed of this energy and of this unexpected light and movement that you see that planes just cannot do, or helicopters or whatever
it
is from our military. It's just amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It's very fascinating. But you said that those ETs come from far away, and last week I had a guest who also thinks that some ETs are coming from our own solar system. His name is Gerard Aerts, and he wrote an interesting book about the knowledge of George Adamski. And George Adamski is one of the early contactees from the 50s, you know. But through the years, there have been contactees all over the world all the time. And so I think, like you said, what we did with the National Press Club conference, what was transmitted on CNN in 2010. And did you hear, by the way, about what happened in Russia with this prime minister? That he was talking off the air for the cameras. They mm-hmm. thought they were there, but they were not. And he was speaking about a movie called Man in Black. And that the president, when he is inaugurated in the parliament, they receive a suitcase with the nuclear codes, but also with the information about ETs.
Yeah, I heard about that, you know, and I don't really know if, you know, I can't really comment if that's true or not, or, you know, I don't really know. So I don't know if, you know, people on the internet can just kind of say whatever, and you know, so I won't comment on that.
Okay, anyway, it was broadcasted on their television network, and there are some recordings from you can go to the website of the television network. It was really transmitted, but anyway, I think it's time for disclosure. I think it's for a time for the whole world to know about ETs, that they are here and they can bring us clean technology. So what do you think we can achieve altogether to accomplish this, Grant?
Oh, I mean it will transform every aspect of, you know, society and life as we know it. You know, I mean, contact, you know, new energy, consciousness. You know, I mean, it's going to be, you know, there's some really exciting times ahead of us. But, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of countries who have come out with all the UFO files, you know, and the U.S. is, you know, obviously hasn't. But, you know, it's kind of like, how does one disclose that which you have no knowledge of or no access to? You know, so it's like, okay, so Disclosure Project, okay, even if Obama isn't in on the cover-up, you know, how, you know, what's he going to say? Like, yeah, we're not alone, but, you know, what do we do about this? And I just think, I don't know. I mean, I said earlier, you know, it's so complicated, but I don't know. I think that, you know, that if the people lead, the leaders will follow, you know, and I've been, you know, the last few years, I called at pretty much every, I mean, I've called so many people in D.C. and, you know, politicians and, you know, all these people just trying to inform them and tell them about all this stuff that's going on, you know, and a lot of people don't even know about Disclosure Project, you know, so it's like, I don't know, you know, I think, honestly, I think what it's going to take is some mass contact event where it's just going to be undeniable, you know, I mean, otherwise, it's, you know, the people who are keeping this covered up, they're not going to come out with this, you know, so it's, I don't know, I think it's going to take people like us, you know, initiating contact, and then, you know, we shouldn't rely on the ET civilizations by any means, but, you know, I think that's kind of what it's going to take. You know, I mean, we can, so the purpose of Sirius is both to inform and educate people, but also to raise funds so they can open a R&D lab to bring out these zero-point energy devices. So that's one of the main purposes of Sirius. So, you know, once we have a zero-point energy device, an operational one, you know, I mean, that's when networking with Facebook, Twitter, you know, et cetera, you know, that's when we need to really start telling people that, you know, these technologies are possible. And, I don't know. It's such a huge cluster. I don't know.
I have heard rumors that when the earthly people, the presidents of the big nations like China or the U.S. do not disclose, they will disclose themselves, and they can break into our television networks and radio stations. I mean, that are airing on the FM frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, in 1977, there was a guy called Vrillian from he was an ET, and he broke into a signal of the broadcast of the BBC in England. It was heard by tens of thousands of people.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. It's very interesting. But yeah, is there something you want to share? Share to the listeners that I haven't asked you, but that you think is important to share?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of want people to know how easy it is to have contact. I mean, it's ridiculously easy. With Sirius, they've kind of been throwing around a slogan, you know, contact is only a thought away or something to that effect. But it's so true. I mean, people think that, you know, I mean, I certainly never thought I would be involved with this. I mean, I never imagined, you know, but it's like, basically, yeah, I mean, it's incredibly easy to initiate contact. I mean, it's basically all thought, you know, the ET's technologies will pick up on that. And so, you know, I think, you know, we just need to kind of start keeping that in our consciousness and, you know, just trying to be better people and, you know, more accepting of our own species, you know, and then eventually working outwards. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm incredibly new to this, you know, I mean, there are people who talk about, oh, I have shelves and shelves of UFO books, and I've been to all these UFO conferences, and, you know, I think that's a problem because, you know, it's, I hate to put it this way, but I feel like they've kind of been brainwashed, you know, it's like, the control group, you know, they, you know, okay, most of the UFO community, I would say the majority unknowingly, but it's saturated with purposely seeded disinfo. You know, it's like, so when people talk about the evil aliens and, oh, the abductions and implants and all that stuff, you know, that's not ET related at all. You know, that's all, Disclosure Project witnesses have been on these teams who are, you know, part of the MILAB teams and, you know, all the implants and all that stuff, you know, and it's like, it goes, you know, Dr. Carol Rosen, well, she's not the only one who talks about it, but, you know, the quote-unquote, the last card, you know, it all goes back to the last card. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll basically comment on that. What I understand is that the gray aliens who were contacted by the military in Roswell, they had an agreement with the government to abduct humans to do DNA tests. But they are not any more welcome in our solar system. They are being kept out by the Galactic Federation. But that's the information I have.
No, no. Like, I mean, so my main contact is a quote-unquote gray, you know? So I actually kind of, you know, I actually get a little offended when people talk about the grays and, you know, like, you know, I think that they're all working together. I really do. You know, if they're, you know, it's kind of been said that, you know, to become a truly transdimensional interstellar civilization, you have to have a certain kind of peaceful mindset, you know, and I really think that they're all working together. You know, I'm not saying that there aren't, you know, evil aliens out there, you know, I mean, look at us, we're proof of that, you know, but I think that, you know, I just don't think that, you know, there's the good ones and the bad ones out there. You know, it's like, and I'm sure that, yeah, genuine abductions have happened. You know, I'm positive of that. But, you know, I don't really think that goes on anymore. But, you know, whether there's, you know, people say there's a collusion, I just don't think that is true either. You know, I think it's all disinfo. And it all goes back to the last card. You know, it's like this control group wants us to think that, you know, we need to fight the evil aliens, you know, to keep their bankroll going, you know, to fuel the military industrial complex. They always need an enemy, you know, so that's my opinion on all that, so.
Okay, fairly good. I mean, it was great to have you on the show, Grant. We have to sign off now because there's another program coming after this, after the hour. Unfortunately,
right.
I would like to do another interview with you in some time when you have a good Skype connection. And it was wonderful to have you. And my friends, I will speak to you next week with another beautiful, interesting guest. Thank you very much.
Definitely. Thank you, Martin. Namaste.
Namaste.